in the book of Genesis, in chapter number 7, I'm going to read a verse here in chapter number 7 and just kind of use it for a springboard in the message today. Genesis chapter number 7, the verse number 9 said, "There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah." Now, I didn't mean to say this right now, but I want to remind you something. You say, well, this is all the way back over 6,000 years ago. Let me remind you of something. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. You see, the Bible is applicable to every generation. We can apply its truths. The Bible said, "And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth." And now in verse 11, it tells us how that happened. "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day." Did you see in that verse right there that God is a God of detail? I mean, He told us exactly. Watch this. "The same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up." And here's my text. "And the windows of heaven were opened." Father, I love You and I thank You for loving me. Thank You, God, for loving my people. God, I feel like Solomon this morning, Lord. I sure do need wisdom that I might lead Your people, our Father, in a plain path, in an old path. That path, our God, that pleases Thee. Lord, if You'd be pleased to show up this morning, we sure would appreciate it. Thank You, God, for the good singing. Thank You, Lord, this morning for the good fellowship. And Lord, what I have in my heart right now, the joy. Lord, I wonder sometimes when people hear of others being saved, if they even rejoice. Lord, I know this, in heaven, there was a lot of rejoicing going on Friday morning in the presence of the angels. Lord, You said over one sinner that repenteth. God, I pray that, Lord, You would just continue to change me and make me more like Your Son. Make me more, Lord, the pastor and the daddy and the papaw that I need to be. Help me, God, to be a reflection of Your grace and Your mercy. Thank You, Lord, for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not saying this just to be saying something, but I could take what's laying in front of me and preach for 2 hours. I'm not going to. I've got somewhere that I need to be, and I believe God wants me to be. But I'm going to give you what God put in my heart. I've never studied this before. I've never looked at it before. And the subject is, when God opens heaven. When God opens heaven. Brother John, I begin to look in the Bible at several times when God literally... Now there's the heaven, the earth's atmosphere. Then there's that second heaven. That's where the stars and the moon and the sun are. And then there's that third heaven. That's the abode of God. You remember that Paul said, "I was caught up into the third heaven and I saw things that were not lawful to be uttered." I'm not talking about God now just opening the clouds. You're going to see in a little bit. It was open from above the clouds. Just like when the temple was rent in twain, it wasn't rent from the bottom up where man did it. It was rent, God wanted everybody to know He did it, from the top down. Amen. And I want you to look with me, if you will, at several examples in the Bible when God opens heaven. There are 4 things I want to observe in the message today. The first time that God opens heaven is found right here in the text. And I found this to be amazing. The first time that God opened heaven, it's judgment that's coming upon the earth. Did you know that not much of God's judgment is preached in this generation? But He's a holy God. He's angry, the Bible said, with the wicked every day. Did you know, beloved, that the same God that opened the windows of heaven in the book of Genesis, and the Bible said here that the fountains of the deep were broken up. And I thought about, you know, just on Wednesday night, I was in Cleveland, Tennessee. Brother Coulter was receiving his five-year reward, and I had Brother Brian lined up to preach for me, and my wife looked on the phone. We were at a restaurant eating, and she said, "Honey, they're giving a flood watch for Sullivan County." And we never thought much more about it. And then about 5 minutes after six, my phone rang, and Justin called me and said, "Pastor, Fackenhouse Road's flooded." God opened heaven, amen. And He rained 4 inches, they said, in Kingsport in an hour. Now suppose it rained all night like that, Brother John. Honey, I tell you, you wouldn't have been safe even as high as you all were up there. It would have been in your basement, maybe on up in the house, amen. But here, the first time that God mentions God opening heaven, it's mentioned in judgment. And when it says here, the windows of heaven were opened, I looked that up in the Hebrew, and it means a sluice. That's openings, a sluice with openings for water. If you could picture it, it's like a dam, amen? And God opened the dam up. When I studied that and read it, it reminded me of a place that my dad and I used to go fishing years ago up in Maryland. And when the dam was closed up, Brother Mike, you could get out there among the rocks and you could find all the fishing hooks and sinkers and lures that you wanted to find. It's just a trickle of water here and there. But all of a sudden, Brother Mike, if a siren went off, you better not be out there among them rocks looking for fishing lures, because they was fixing to open that dam up. And listen, the water was fixing to flow down, and it was dangerous, amen, if you stayed. When you listen to that siren, you say, "Pastor, what in the world are you doing in 2025? I'm trying to sound the siren, amen. Judgments are coming. Judgments coming. You say, "God said He would never destroy the earth with a flood." That's true. He's not going to. I found this very, very interesting. In the book of Genesis, the first time that the windows of heaven are open, you find, beloved, that judgment came in the days of Noah. But you know what? You can go to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and God said this, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war." Ain't that something that God would start the Bible off and open heaven and say, "Judgment, amen. I'm going to show you the judgment that's coming." And then go over to the book of Revelation and finish up and say, "I want you to know, my God is a God of love, grace, and mercy. But He's warning us that judgment is coming." This takes place, if you study your Bible, at the end of the tribulation hour. "I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse." You say, "Where are you going to be?" Right behind Him. Glory to God, I ain't going to need a gun. I ain't going to need a sword. I ain't going to need anything. Brother Tim, He's going to accomplish it all. Out of His mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword. He's got a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. When the judgment comes, God starts the book off with judgment, and He ends the book with judgment. Never have I seen that before in my life. Somebody said, "Well, you need to preach grace." I'm going to tell you what, you'll never appreciate grace until you realize, beloved, we're living under the judgment of God for our sin. Amen. I love what those ladies sang this morning. It's personal with me. It was my sin that nailed him there. And I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. You can sit there and shine your halo if you want to. But it wasn't just my sin before I was born again. But it's my sin. Hallelujah to God. That blood was shed that after I was born again, when I got crossways with God, I could get right once again and get cleaned up once again. Oh, that young lady, when I took her to 1 John and showed her, I said, honey, you're not walking in the light. She said, no. But I said, look here. There's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleansed you from all sin. Oh, she was so happy to see that there was a cleansing agent that still works in these modern days. A cleansing agent for sin. God's mighty power. This book begins in judgment and ends in judgment. The next thing I want you to see is God's miraculous provision. I want you to think about this. Psalm 78:23, the Bible said, though he had commanded the clouds from above. Brother Larry, he wasn't sitting on the cloud. He wasn't sitting in the cloud. He is above the clouds. And he commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven. What's God doing now? And had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. You think about that. And he sent them meat to the full. I tell you, God opened heaven. Yes, he did. And he wants to show his mighty power. But he wants to show his miraculous provision that God is able. That manna, that small coriander seed, it was round, amen. And it was wide. And it was pure. It would light on the dew. And they would gather it, amen, for 6 days. And then on that sixth day, they would gather enough for 2 days so they wouldn't have to gather on the Sabbath. It was God that fed the children of Israel in the wilderness. It was God that made their clothes last for 40 years. It was God that gave them water from the rock. I'm telling you, it was a God above the clouds, my God, that met their needs. And he opened the windows of heaven to show his miraculous provision. Oh, you say, well, that's him back there. What's that got to do with us? I'm glad I can take you to time after time after time after time. God dealt with my heart last night. I'm telling you, I got on my face. I'm going to tell you, I can tell you time after time after time when me and that young lady sitting over there didn't know how in the world we was going to make it. But God brought something to my attention. Brother Gary, I believe we was closer to him when we didn't have so much. I believe we was closer to him when we didn't have to, beloved, when we had to depend on him more. Amen. When we didn't know how the groceries were going to come, how the bills were going to be paid. You say, Pastor, I wouldn't tell that. I'm telling it and I'm enjoying it. Grow a garden. And I'm not exaggerating. Miss Eve, you'd have to take this church and cut it in half and then put the other half behind it, wouldn't you? Big old garden. Taters, beans, maters. If you're from New York, you don't know what a mater is. Amen. Grow them vegetables and can them vegetables. Corn. Them groundhogs got interested in my wife's tomatoes, and they wouldn't come out when I was home, because I'm a dead eye with a gun. So I taught my wife how to shoot my shotgun. All you got to do is be close, amen. Just put the bead on them, honey. I can see her now coming out around the end of the porch looking like Granny Clampett with that 30-inch barrel full choke 12-gauge. They stood up there in her face every day in the middle of the day and wouldn't come out of the evening after I got home. 3 in one summer. Don't mess with her. I still got a shotgun, amen. By the way, I better remind me not to mess with her too. God's miraculous provision. What's that got to do with us? Well, listen to what Malachi said. He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive. Amen, Brother Chris. Oh, my soul, amen. Do you just mind God? Do what God wants you to do. God said, I'm going to tell you something about my God. He will not allow anyone to outgive him. I mean, that is not our motive in giving. My motive is I love him. But I'm telling you, I've seen him take in so far apart, there was no way to bring them together. And I've seen him bring them together time and time and time and time again. God opened the windows in judgment, revealed his mighty power. God opens the windows here and reveals his miraculous provision. Then there's another time that God opened the windows. Y'all know I'm just scratching the surface at this, don't you? That's all right. I'm enjoying scratching. The next thing I want to give you, it God opens the windows of heaven. He reveals the marvelous person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, where's that text? Well, in Luke chapter 3, verse 21, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. Ain't that something? The heaven was opened. Y'all see that? The heaven was open. You say, what's God revealing here in the person of the Lord Jesus? Well, I'll tell you. You see the Trinity in one place. John the Baptist has got Jesus in his arms. And John the Baptist is laying Jesus under the water. I believe buried with him in baptism is what the Bible teaches. And the Word of God said this. There was a Spirit. The Spirit of the living God, like a dove, came down. And boy, could you imagine getting to see that, brother?
Amen.
Hallelujah. But, you say, preacher, why did that? Heaven had to be opened. God had something he wanted to say. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Glory to God. Let me tell you something right now. God has a purpose in opening the heaven. You know what he did Friday morning? He opened the heaven. And he revealed to several their need. That young man that was saved, he didn't say this in the altar when I was dealing with him, but after, you see, this is a good sign of salvation, Brother Chris. He hadn't been set down 10 minutes and he wanted to testify.
Amen. Amen.
He wanted to tell what God had done for him. And then I wasn't sure I heard him right. He had even preached. See, it went lined up with my testimony, amen. Tried everything I could to find satisfaction. But honey, there's no satisfaction apart from the cross of Calvary, the blood of Jesus Christ, apart from being born again. And when he testified, he started telling that. He said, I've told person after person after person about how to be saved, knowing in my heart I never accepted Christ myself. Couldn't believe what I was hearing. But it lined up, amen. I understood where he was coming from. God had to reveal that to him, and he had to be willing. There's a boatload of pride that has to go down for a religious person to get saved.
Amen.
A boatload. And I'm going to tell you, it don't go down easy. I used to go home and sit in the driveway. I'd sit in the parking lot of many churches. God would deal with me in a service, and I'd sit in the parking lot and say something like, God, if you'll save me, I'll go back and tell them that you saved me. You know, it wasn't going to happen that way. You want to know why? I was a public figure, and God was going to make me get saved publicly. That was just the way it was with me. You can get saved in your bedroom if you don't make an issue out of it. Say amen. And I'm going to tell you something. God has to be dealing with that heart. He don't come on your terms. You come on his. Or you don't come at all. We see the marvelous person of the Lord Jesus. Brother John, God give me this. There's judgment in the beginning and judgment in the end. But all the way through, there's Jesus. God's telling us how we can escape the judgment of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Think about that. He starts it off and opens the windows to show us judgment. He ends up in Revelation, wants to show us judgment. But I'm telling you what, you can start in the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. You go right on through the Old Testament, come right into Matthew. Let me tell you something. It's all about Jesus. Jesus. He opens the windows of heaven in the middle of the book and shows us about Jesus. The last thing, when God opens the windows of heaven, He wants us to observe His mighty power, His miraculous provision, and His marvelous person. But I looked at another time. Well, a couple really. And God wants to show us, lastly in the message, His manifest purpose. What's His purpose in this last time? I'm going to show it to you. It's the church. In Acts chapter 10 and verse number 11, and I started to go there and read the whole text, but for the sake of time, here's what it says. And saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. If you don't know your Bible, let me explain a little bit. Peter has gone into a trance, and God is revealing to him in a vision. Peter is a Jew, and Peter doesn't want to have anything to do with the Gentile dogs. And God teaches Peter in this vision, don't you call anything that I've made common or unclean. And so Peter is going to be going down to the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. And Cornelius is going to be born again. He's doing all he knows how to do. He's acting on all the light that he's got. And God sends him more light. Peter said, your prayers and your alms have come up to God for a memorial. But Cornelius had still never been saved. He went down there and explained to him the way of salvation. And so, what are you saying, Pastor, in his program? Let me give you three things about God's program. His purpose here, it's manifested. It's number one, it's a church that's inclusive. How many's glad he included you? I'm telling you, the Bible teaches us in the book of Romans that God grafted us in. The Bible teaches us in John chapter number 1, He came unto His own received Him not, but to as many as received Him, I'm glad I'm as many. Amen. To them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name.
Amen.
It's a church that's inclusive. I'm not going to take the time to read the text, but in Ephesians 2, verse 11 through 22, you know what you're going to find out? That I am going to read it, because God just told me to. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. This will bless you. Amen. This will bless you. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I read this last night and I shouted. Amen. Watch this now. Let's start reading in verse number 11. Wherefore remember that being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. How many remembers when you were without Christ? I think some of you have forgotten when you were without Christ. I said, how many remembers when you were without Christ? How many remembers the guilt, the shame, the misery? I don't care if you were 6 years old or 60. Watch this. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, and having no hope. And without God in the world. But now, glory to God, I love that word in the Bible, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Oh, glory to God. Listen, my first cousin got saved 2 days after I got saved. I went in his home. He bowed at the coffee table. My first cousin sitting on the couch. I'm trying to give him assurance now. I said, look at this, Bob. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. He's got his head right in there, that you may know that you have what? I turned to look at Bob. He's got his head laid back. He said, peace. I said, Bob, would you look at the Bible? I want you to read this and get his head in there. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have what? Peace. I said, Bob, would you look at the Bible? He looked in there one more time. I said, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have what? And it came out in about six syllables. Peace. I said, forget it, Bob. I closed my Bible. I said, you've got peace. And that's all that matters. Every individual in this room, you know whether you have peace in your heart. You know whether you'd be all right if you died today or if you'd be all wrong. There is no in between. You're either all right through the blood of Jesus or you're all wrong in your sin. No in between. No almost saved. Agrippa was almost persuaded. That ain't going to work. My grandpa is an old-fashioned Baptist preacher. Back in those days, it was not uncommon for black folk and white folk to worship together. I still don't see nothing wrong with that. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you, that got down to the end of the service, and it was common for the preacher to say, anybody got a word on your heart? This lady stood up in the back of the church. She was a black lady. And I'm not making fun. I'm just telling you what she said. I heard my grandpa say it over and over. She said, I want to tell you black folk one thing. I want to tell you white folk the same thing. She said, either you is or you ain't. And she sat back down. That's a woman's testimony, but it's truth. You're either in or you're out. You're either headed for heaven or you're headed for hell. There is no in between. Jesus. He has a church that's inclusive. And then it's a church that's elusive. I use that word. That word means to escape. Did you know, beloved, listen to these verses. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. He said, you serpents, you generations of vipers. He said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? I was reminded, Brother John, of old Brother Wrightly sailing. Brother Wrightly would stand up and he would say this. He said, are you whitewashed? Or are you washed white? Did you know the Pharisees were whitewashed? They made clean the outside of the cup, but inwardly they were full of dead men's bones. They were just like a whited sepulcher, Jesus said. I'm going to tell you something right now. Only, you say, well, Pastor, you'll never know. That may be true, but God knows. And you know. You know whether you've been washed white. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash us white, whiter than snow. He said in Luke 21, watch, I'm going somewhere. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. That's talking about the tribulation. And to stand before the Son of Man. Hebrews 2 and 3 said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Now I'm going to tell you how you can escape. Listen to Revelation. God's going to open heaven. Revelation 4:1. And after this I looked and behold, a door. You're enjoying this, ain't you, Brother Chris? Glory to God, I ain't going through the tribulation. God's going to open a door. And when he opened that door, I'm going through that door. Amen. All hell's going to break loose on earth, but I'll be gone to be with Jesus. You see, the 24 elders gathered around the throne of God. Beloved, God's going to open that heaven. And we're going to escape the judgment that's coming on this world. We're going to escape the tribulation. We're going to escape, beloved, the great white throne. We're going to escape the lake of fire because Jesus made a way. Amen. How many believes that those prisoners that are in Gaza? I heard this morning on the radio coming that I'm just going to go ahead and say it, them idiots that's got them captured. They sent out a video and they said the man looks like a skeleton. They've got him in one of them tunnels digging his own grave. They thought that was going to help them. Honey, that ain't going to help them. Say amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you were in one of those tunnels and somebody made you a way of escape, would you take it? If you were on death row, you're waiting for an injection or waiting for the firing squad or waiting to be hung or waiting to be electrocuted, and a governor signed the pardon, would you take it? I would, even if it's with an auto pen. See, only people that's keeping up with the news knows what I just said. Amen. It's a church that's elusive. We're going to escape. The Bible said we're not appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you this. You're here today and you're lost. Let me tell you this. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You say, what would I have to do to get right with God? Number one, you'd have to swallow your pride. You'll never get right with God in your pride. You have to swallow it. And I'm going to tell you something right now. It's not easy. It's not easy to admit that you are exactly what God said you are. A sinner. Pride is what got this whole thing going in the wrong direction. Lucifer stood up in heaven and said, I'm going to exalt my throne above the throne of God. I'm paraphrasing now, but God said, we'll see. He got kicked out. Amen. So what did he do? He come on down here in the garden, wanted to deceive Eve. Amen. The whole human race been plunged into sin. But ain't you glad Jesus went to Calvary and made a way we can escape. The last thing, it's a church that's exclusive. I'm glad he included me. I'm glad I'm not going to go through the tribulation. I'm not going to be judged in hell. You say, Pastor, what do you mean it's a church that's exclusive? Turn with me to Revelation 21. Exclusive. We don't like words like that. Brother John, we live in a generation where everybody gets a trophy. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There are going to be some winners when this thing's over. And there are going to be some losers when this thing's over. You say, Pastor, what do you mean a church that's exclusive? Look at Revelation 21. I'll finish with these verses. Stay with me a few minutes, would you? Don't die on me now. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. What's it doing? It's coming down. God opens the heaven once again. Out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now you ought to underline his people. If you're not one of his people, you're not in this number. Watch this. And God shall wipe all tears away from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Go with me to 1 John. I didn't mean to read this, but here it comes. 1 John, I need to read this. Whosoever believeth, chapter 5, verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begot, loveth him that's also begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You see where you overcome at? Through the new birth. You must be born again. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Look, Luke's verse number 8. Sometimes that but in the Bible is going to show us something better. But sometimes when God says but, he's going to show us something worse. Let me show you. Look at verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I'm telling you, when that holy city comes down, it's going to be an exclusive event. Watch what the Bible said here, please. In chapter number 22 and verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Can I get a witness this morning? How many knows your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? They're the only ones going, youngins. Watch this. Chapter 22, verse 11. He that is unjust, he shall get right after all this. No, you won't. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. See, that's the problem. That's the problem with sin. People say, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. You may not be. But I'm going to tell you something about hell. I don't want the best that hell has to offer. The Bible said they're going to be judged according to their work. So, and you know, you may not understand this. I mean, I despise somebody that would abuse a child. Somebody say amen right there. But you know where a hotter place than hell may be? For people stood in pulpits like that and said, you can go any way you want to go. People stood in pulpits like that and they preached the grace of God, never preached the judgment of God. People stood in pulpits like that and denied the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that you must be born again. Oh, join our church. I'll tell you something right now. You can join every church in Sullivan County and die without God and go to hell.
That's right. Amen.
When Jesus passed through the land of Egypt, they were instructed to take the lamb. It had to be a spotless lamb. Kill that lamb. Cut that lamb's throat and get that blood. Then that blood would be caught in a basin. Then they would take hyssop. Miss Eve, you'll have to put this back where you want it. They'd take hyssop. It was a plant. They dip it in that blood. And God said, I want you to apply that blood on the lintel and on the doorpost. And then what he said, when I see your Sunday school pen, I'll pass over you. When I see your church membership card, I'll pass over you. When I see your baptisms, when I see what you've put in that offering every Sunday, I'll pass over you. Let me tell you something right now, honey. He said, when I see the blood, going to hell. There's only one reason I'm going to heaven. I'm trying my best to be a good pastor and a good wife, a good husband and a good daddy and a good papa. But I tell you, none of that's going to get me into heaven. He's looking for the blood. His darling son, the Lord Jesus. It's exclusive. Look at verse 15. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Honey, that cross is a divider of men. Years ago, I was working for a man in Abingdon, Virginia, and they were on their way to church, and this guy had a big, nice bass boat, and he passed them.
on Route 19 going out of Abingdon. His wife looked over at him and said, "Look at there, honey." Said, "Somebody's taking their boat to church with them this morning." I doubt it, don't you? Idolaters. There's all kinds of people letting all kinds of things keep them from God.
Amen.
Keep them away from the salvation that God wants to give them. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man," it's exclusive, "no man cometh unto the Father but by me." I'll read you this. We'll quit. Growing up on the Atlantic coast, this is Gregory P. Elder saying this. Growing up on the Atlantic coast, I spent long hours working on intricate sandcastles. Y'all gonna like this. Some of you have been to the coast this week. Nobody from Bible Way, this summer, nobody from Bible Way goes to the beach. They all go to the coast. Amen. Don't you dare tell somebody you went to the beach. Yeah. He said, growing up on the Atlantic coast, I spent long hours working on intricate sandcastles. Whole cities would appear beneath my hands. One year, for several days in a row, I was accosted by bullies who smashed my creations. Finally, I tried an experiment. Brother John, this sounds like something me and you do. He said, I placed cinder blocks and rocks and chunk of concrete in the base of my castles. Then I built the sand kingdoms on top of the rocks. When the local thugs appeared, he said in parentheses, and I disappeared, their bare feet suddenly met their match.
Amen.
Many people see the church in grave peril from a variety of dangers. Secularism, politics, heresies, plain old sin. They forget that God's church is built on rock.
Amen.
You can kick his beyond food, you're just going to hurt your toes. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'm standing on that rock. Are you? Are you standing on that rock? Brother Mike, you've been praying for me this morning, ain't you? Appreciate it, brother. Appreciate it. Amen. How many would like to see somebody swallow their pride this morning? Somebody could be a Christian. I tell you what, if there was something between me and Brother Chris, I'd be right now, I'd say, "Brother Chris, me and you sure don't want to hinder the working of the Spirit of God." I tell you, I heard one old preacher say one time, he said, "You can fuss all the way to church." He said, "That car door opened." Let me tell you what Jesus would say, "You hypocrite." That's what Jesus would say, amen. "You hypocrite." Girls, come on, sing, would you? I'm old enough to call you girls. And you're young enough to enjoy it. Amen. This morning, I want you to know this. I happened to walk in the fellowship hall when they were practicing, and that line was coming out. It was my sin that held him there. And oh, it causes me to want to worship. It was your sin that held him there. I want you to know this morning, whatever you need, I'm going to allow you just to stay seated. If you want to stay seated, they're going to sing. Maybe you will come and pray for a loved one. Maybe you come pray for revival. Maybe you'd come and get something right in your own heart that you know. You know what I told that young lady the other day when she knelt beside of me, Mark, and said, "There's sin in my life." I said, "Honey, I'm not your priest." I said, "You don't have to tell it to me." I said, "You tell it to Jesus." Amen. Amen. He is our great high priest.
Amen.
And by the way, He knows. He can look at every heart this morning. He knows where the blood's been applied, and He knows where it's not been applied. He knows. You know, you say, Pastor, I just don't know if God's hearing my prayer. You know why? The Bible said if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us.
Amen.
Did y'all know that? You're wasting your time. How many's ever heard somebody say, like, I didn't think my prayers went any higher in the ceiling? Let me tell you something. There have been times in my life that was true. They didn't go no higher in the ceiling.
Amen.
Because I was carrying something right there. Had to be dealt with. Father, I pray in this invitation that folk would mind you, Lord. May the Spirit of God do His office work. Do what I can't do, Lord. I can speak to ears, but God, I don't have the ability to speak to hearts. God, would you speak to hearts? Just before they sing, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.